Well, good evening. Welcome to Antioch Community Church. My name is Travis Phillips, and I'm the lead pastor here, and we're so thankful that you have come to worship and to be together, to dig into God's Word together. We are in the middle of a series called Stages, and what we are believing that God is speaking and where He is leading us in this series is really about seeing generations changed. It says in the book of Acts that David was a man that saw the purposes of God established in his generations. Then he went to sleep. Then God took him home. And that is the desire of our heart, is that God would use us in such a way that it could be said of us as a church or as a people, that they were used to establish the purposes of God in their generation. Now, in this room, there are many of us in different generations, and we're hitting different stages or generations of life, and we want to do that because we believe that there's importance in getting specific. So it's not just this broad goal of, yeah, I want to see my generation changed, but it's really looking at every stage that a generation goes through and how we can import and apply the principles and truths of God's Word into every stage that you will pass through along the way in your generation. And so we have begun doing that. We've looked at marriage. We've looked at the millennial generation, the young adults in the room, and often also focusing on the single chapter of life. And this week, we're going to be looking at parenting. All right, and one thing that we feel like God has absolutely expressed is that there is something for all of us in each of these. Whether you have kids that are grown and you're really not in the active season of parenting, obviously you're still parenting, or if you don't have kids and maybe don't plan to have kids, there's going to be something for you. And so we're excited about what God is going to be speaking to us. And specifically tonight, for us parents in the room, I believe that God is just wanting to shake us up, to stir our hearts, to begin teaching us what it looks like to have the heart of a parent, hopefully to give you some encouragement and some challenge as you parent. And the thing is, with this particular teaching tonight, is that it really does apply to each and every one of us. There are things in parenting, I believe, that open our eyes to the things we're going to be talking about, where maybe before that we would just kind of overlook or breeze over it. But for each one of us, we have something to learn from God's heart tonight. And as we dig into that, first of all, I want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, because I want to celebrate kids first. Just want to celebrate kids. We're not having a specific teaching on kids because we are all past that stage, but we're going to apply that in this message. So Genesis 1, 27 and 28 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, 'Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it.'" So this is one of God's first commandments to people, and it's a pretty fun one. You fill the earth, and it's a commandment from God, and it's really quite amazing that we are called to do that. That we are called to create image bearers of God, because the verse right before is what He created mankind in His image. All right, and so we have the responsibility and the privilege of creating image bearers of God. And these image bearers of God were created to fill the earth and to subdue it. He has given us authority as humans to rule the earth. And so that is quite an honor and quite a privilege and something that we want to do. There's something godly about having children. There's something of obedience in the place of having children. Psalm 127, 3-5 says this about kids. "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." Children are a reward from God. They are image bearers of God, and they are a reward from him. It's sometimes there are days that they don't feel like a reward, but God says that children are a reward and not a curse. They are a reward. They are a blessing. And that is just truth that you might need to, as a parent, remind yourself of, or even as an aunt or an uncle or a nanny. Children are a blessing. Children are a blessing. They are a reward. They are a reward. God has said it. Blessed is the man and woman whose quiver is full of them, whose home is full of them. And so that is what they are. And so our homes are blessed with the cries of babies, with the bickering of siblings. Our homes are blessed because of kids. They're blessed because of kids. Now we know something about being created in the image of God that happened in the garden, that sin entered in. And all of a sudden these image bearers of God start looking a lot not like God, not like his character, not loving like him, not serving like him, but instead being selfish and being hateful towards others. And so the sin comes in and taints this image-bearing little kid. It's tainted all of us. We were all kids at one time and have grown and hopefully have been refined over the years. We've grown and some of the selfishness has left us. But we all have that. And as parents, we have a responsibility to raise our kids in the ways of the Lord, to teach them how to follow God, to teach them how to love, how to serve, how to lay their lives down for others, how to not be demanding and selfish. And that is a journey that we learn and that we also take our kids on. Children are a reward from the Lord. And that is something that we firmly believe as a church as well. We firmly believe that kids are not simply an investment in the future, though we are investing in their future, but we believe that they have a significant and vital role to play now. That they are kids who can learn to hear God, who can learn to serve, who can not be demanding but relinquish their rights. Kids that can learn to pray, can learn to believe, can learn to share the gospel. And these things become a part of them because they're kids who can learn to know the love of a father. And they can begin to at some level filter life because they know they have a God that loves them and who speaks to them. He is real. And so we have a heart to disciple kids. Now, and that's really the heart of our Antioch Kids. The children's ministry here at our church is not simply to have activities to pass the time or simply to teach them some good Bible stories. That's not the end of it. Everything is purposefully driven by discipleship. Now, it'll be age appropriate. We want to be creative. We want to have a lot of fun. We're going to be loud. We're going to have a lot of energy. But it is all motivated with the heart of discipleship. We believe that kids can begin looking more like Jesus. That there are things to be celebrated in them and for them to be encouraged in. And there's also things in kids that need to for somebody to come alongside and say, hey, that's not the way that we act. That's not the way that God teaches us. And so teaching kids along the way, teaching the group of kids along the way, what it looks like to look like Jesus. And that's the heart of our kids' ministry, and we are excited about what God is doing in them. And parents, you've probably been blown away and convicted, as I have, about some of the things that come out of their mouths. You're like, oh, that's right. That's deep. That's true. And you're convicted and because they have that in them, and I love it. They're just learning to walk with God in that way. I love my kids. I was never a quote-unquote kid person before. In fact, I don't know if I was scared or what. It was just kind of like, I don't really want to hold that baby. It seems very fragile, or they have food all over them, or whatever it is. I just was not a kid person. But God can change anyone once you have a kid. It's amazing what happens. And so I know many of you know my kids, but I just want to show them to you real quick. First of all, our firstborn is Ellie, and she is six now. And we've got pictures of them. I tried to find pictures that kind of typified their personality. But Ellie is passionate. She is life-giving. She is joy-filled. She is a worshiper. She's our little light. She is a light. And Sarah Grace is our secondborn. She is compassionate. She is kind. She is very sensitive. She's our little sweetie. And the third born is Emmy. Emmy is energetic. She is entertaining. She's an evangelist, has never met a stranger, and she is our little bundle of joy. And then fourthly is John Wesley. We're still getting to know him. That's still coming out a little bit. But I know that he is content, but he likes to be heard. And if that goes together, that he has a tender heart, but with a rugged warrior kind of guy. You know, he's got both. And he's our little man. And so he's the little man of the family. And so that is our family. And I just love being a dad. I eat it up, and our home is, I mean, it is full, and it is, it feels very full, and it sounds very loud, and there is drama, and there is always something going on, as you can imagine. Joy is also pregnant. I don't know if you knew that, but, and so we will have, there you go. We're excited. I think this is the last, inshallah, that'll be 5 kids, 6 and under. So we're going to see how that one goes. We'll see how that one goes. But it is absolutely a joy. And one thing, and this is kind of going to be the phrase of the day, is this. Parenting, I found to be a lot like a mirror. And in a very helpful and godly way, parenting is like a mirror. And this is where you will all feel drawn in. And so we've got a mirror coming out here just to kind of give us a visual. Because here's what a mirror does. A mirror reflects things accurately. A mirror is pretty true. So you might be able to see some of each other, but don't make faces at each other. I didn't think about the distraction that might be. So a mirror always reflects things accurately. It does. It doesn't. A true mirror doesn't distort what is really seen. And so there, when we look at it, we see things as they really are. Proverbs 27:19 says this: "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." As water reflects the face, and now we have even a better, as if they had a lot of mirrors, I'm sure he would have said mirror. But he said water, because that was what I guess they reflected things. So as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And there's something about parenting that just is like this mirror being shoved in your face. It really is. And it could be like one of those bad mirrors. I just saw one at my mom's house. It's like this, it's round and it's this close, and when you walk in front of it, your face is like this big somehow. And you're like, wow, I don't need to see myself that closely. Because you begin to see the imperfections and I could do without that. I'll stay at a distance from the mirror. But a mirror reflects things accurately. And ultimately, our mirror is the Word of God. That has to be the mirror that we look at, that dictates the truth about what is really real. And though that ought to be the case, what we find ourselves living in is more of a magazine kind of world. And in a magazine world, what you have is one of two things. First of all, it could be a magazine that has this beautiful person on the cover. And any imperfection and blemish has been absolutely blotted out. I forget what they call it. They get them all polished up and they get it all perfected as only a computer can do. And so they put these beautiful images. And sometimes what we do as we go through the course of life is we just kind of overlook little blemishes, little patterns of sin, little dark areas in our life. And we can just overlook those things. Sometimes it's just a true blind spot. We just don't see it. We don't have the ability to see it. And so we live in this kind of magazine reality of everything's pretty much okay. It looks good. The other side of that, are these magazines that they find a celebrity that's gotten into drugs or thrown into jail or had an unexpected pregnancy, and they get the worst looking photo of this person. And it looks completely different than the polished photo from a year ago when they were popular, you know? And now they have these big, I'm sure, accentuated dark circles under their eyes. It looks like they kind of stretched out their belly or whatever to make them look bad. And so you may live more in that reality where you have skewed things and you've taken on shame. You've taken on things that really aren't true. And it's caused you to look at yourself beneath where you really are. It's still a lie. It's skewed. It's not how God sees you. It's not the truth of what God sees. And so we don't want to live in the magazine world, whether we are kind of grace-filled for ourselves, oh, I'll be fine, it'll be okay, we'll get over it, and we never really deal with things, or on the flip side, where we are pounding ourselves into the ground with guilt and shame. We've got to find the center. And the center is God's word. And his word is like a mirror. And parenting, for me, has been one of these mirrors that God pulls out. And he says, hey, you need to take a closer look at yourself. You need to take a closer look at yourself. It affords me that opportunity. And as I look into that mirror, I begin to see myself. I begin to see some things in my life that I was just blind to, or that maybe people said and I heard but didn't really hear. Because when you have kids, and I've mentioned this before, you start seeing some of the traits that you have. And the traits I'm speaking of, it's on both sides, but the ones that seem to stand out are the ones that are not so good. It's the bad attitudes. It's the, I make that facial expression when I'm frustrated or angry. I have a tendency to lash out in that way. And that does not sound good. I don't like that. And that has to, there has to be consequences for you acting like that. And yet I am the very one who you've learned that from. And it's humbling. And it causes me to seek the Lord because I begin to see how my actions and my life in the context of my home, those that see me the most, begin to reflect who I am. And my cry has been, God, I want to reflect who you are. That's who I want them to see. I want them to see the Father heart of God. And so, though this is something we all deal with, parenting will bring it into focus really quickly. Because here's where parents are. Parents are far from perfect. And we are not going to be talking about perfection today. Parents are far from perfect, and at times parents get really frustrated or angry with their kids. However, there is something in the heart of parents that just want the best for their kids. They want to do what's right. They want to serve. They want to lay down their lives. Some people really struggle with this because they've never learned how to do that before having kids. So start working on it now. Because they've never learned how to do that. They've never had a parent show them how to do that. And so they have all these regrets that have filled up their life because they have not loved their kids how they wanted to. But the point is that parents innately have this desire for their kids to make it. For them to have the best. For them to succeed. For them to be all that God has called them to be. That's the desire I have for my kids, and I believe that that's something that is important to parents because that's our inheritance. As parents, that's your greatest inheritance. That's the greatest legacy that you leave, is your children. Is your children and how they are going to love and follow God after you. And so there's something innate in us that we carry our kids in our heart. And because we carry our kids in our heart, we long to parent them well. And so there's that much more motivation for me to stand in front of a mirror and say, God, I want to be yours. In fact, I have found myself where I have just fallen down on my knees before the mirror of God and say, God, I repent. I don't want to pass on these traits that are not of you. I don't want to pass them on. I want to be a father who reflects who you are, God. I don't want them to have to go through the mess of figuring out what the father heart of God is because their dad has skewed that. I want them to see it in me so that they can then connect with you with as little hindrance as possible. God, I don't want them to have to work through the junk that so many of us have to work through because of insufficiencies of our parents. Now, let me tell you something encouraging, mom and dads. Kids are resilient. It is the grace of God that kids are resilient, that we can mess up over and over again. And I've had to just rely on that grace of God that, okay, God, you have made kids with resilient hearts. That they can be resilient, they can bounce back. And you know one thing that I've learned that they need? They need honesty. They need a parent who can repent. I don't know if you've ever repented to a three-year-old, but it's not something that you naturally think of. You're like, oh, well, they'll be fine. But I've found and I really believe that it is so important for our kids to hear us repent. When daddy did that, that was sin. And we know that sin separates us from God, and we talk about that a lot, so they know what sin is. And so that was sin, that was not right. Daddy had anger in his heart, and he should not have talked that way. Whether it's to them, whether it's to their mommy, whatever it is that they need to know, they don't need to know you're perfect, because you're not. Because then that gives them this paradigm of, okay, we have to be perfect, and we don't talk about any imperfections that obviously we all have. We're not teaching them to be perfect. We're teaching them to be honest and to be real with sin and say, hey, that's not okay. We're going to go for something different than that. And will you forgive me? They need to learn to forgive. They need to hear that their parents make mistakes, but they need to know that God is the bottom line, that he is the authority. And so daddy is repenting to God. And daddy is going to get his heart right with God so that I can lead our family. And so I'm still going to lead. I'm going to humbly go to God. I'm going to humbly go to my kids. And I'm going to humbly lead them where we need to go as a family. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the word of God. And as we view this mirror, we view the word of God. There are different mirrors for different stages of life. But this is what Hebrews 4 verse 12 and 13 say about the word of God. For the word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This mirror is something that takes us deep. The analogy breaks down because we're not simply talking about surface level things. We are talking about how the word of God plunges deep within our hearts, and it brings conviction. And it begins to separate what is right and what is wrong. It brings us to a place where we are laid bare. And that might seem uncomfortable, and it is. But we can come to that place when we know what we're coming to. When we know who we're coming to. That we come to a compassionate, loving Father who sees all things anyway. And so we come. We say, God, we need you to speak into our lives. I need you to come. And we want to have desperation in that place. And parents, I want to encourage you specifically to come to God with desperation in that place, calling out for his grace, calling out for his mercy. God, I need you to come. I need you to come and heal my heart, to make me right. I need your word to come and be alive and active in me. I open up my heart to you to judge the thoughts and attitudes of my heart so that I can get right. I don't want to withhold anything from you, God, but I give it all to you. And then we take a step deeper. because it doesn't start just with patterns. Okay, I'm going to start this new pattern, or I'm just going to start this new discipline, and I'm going to get better tomorrow. It's not about just being better, but when we really look into the mirror of God's word, he digs into pains and wounds of the past. He begins to dig up things that have gone unresolved for years and years. And this specifically comes out in the area of parenting, because we begin to realize what we have as a child, and it just brings up all these memories of when we ourselves were children. We start thinking about parenting, and we begin to bring in ways that we were parented. Some people enter into parenting and they're like, well, I know I'm just not going to do it like my parents did. I know I don't want to do that. I'm not going to act like that. And so you grit your teeth and you're like, okay, I'm going to do it differently. And then all of a sudden you find yourself doing the exact same things. And you get so frustrated and you're like, I said I never would do that. But here's the problem. You can't just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to be better or I'm going to be different, separate from the grace of God. It just doesn't work that way. We have to dig into the wounds, to the pains, and we have to go there and allow God to heal, to speak life, and to speak truth. If you are going to come out on the other side and be able to parent your kids in a more whole way. And here's where it starts. It starts with forgiveness. It starts with honoring and blessing your parents with all of their flaws. And some of you had parents that you didn't know. Maybe you had parents that wounded you, that hurt you. And I am so sorry. Obviously, we all have broken human parents. And I know that some have experienced pain beyond what I can even imagine. And yet God knows. He knows. He has felt it with you. And he has heard every cry of your heart, and he wants to come in and bring healing. And one of the first results of the healing is forgiveness, is blessing, is honoring your parents, finding the least common denominator of what you can speak of honor, of blessing, of what they did for you. And so then you're able to move on. You're able by the grace of God to say, okay, this is who God has called me to be as a parent. This is what the word of God speaks to me about parenting. This is the legacy I want to leave in the hearts of my kids. And it starts with you. It doesn't start even with learning great parenting techniques. The next few weeks, we're going to hit parenting one more time, and it's going to be a little more practical, but it doesn't start there. It starts here. It starts with looking at this mirror that you have naturally been given through your children. Because you care, because you want to do it, then you see your weaknesses, but you want to do so much better, but you feel like you can't, and you're in this struggle, and so you naturally want to turn to this mirror and let it be the truth of God's word. Don't let it be how your parents didn't do it or how they did do it. Oh, this is fine, I'm sure it's good. Think a little bit, and the way that we think is we go to the mirror of God's word, of his heart, and how we want to transfer that heart to our kids. The word of God is living and active. It's allowing his Holy Spirit to come and to speak into our lives. It's willingly coming to him and saying, God, nothing in creation is hidden from your sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before him who we must give account to. And that's a good place, coming into the presence of God, recognizing our need for his help and for his grace. He has got all that we need. We were singing a song before, and one of the phrases that song was, faultless I stand before the throne. Faultless I stand before the throne. And I was just standing there as we were worshiping. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. That's ridiculous. I am so to blame. I have got so much fault. I have been so selfish. I have repeated patterns of selfishness over and over again. Faultless, I stand before the throne. You've got to be kidding me. But that's the gospel. That is the good news of Jesus Christ, that though we are sinners, though we deserve condemnation because of what Jesus did, and only because of what he did, not Jesus and something, but just Jesus and his love and the fact that he lived a sinless life and died on the cross, died the death that we should have died. Because of that and because of that fact alone, faultless, I stand before the throne. And so if you are fearful about coming to the Word of God and looking in the mirror and being exposed and letting your heart lay bare, know that that is the God that you are coming to. That though you were guilty, he sent his one and only son, the one and only one who was innocent, to become guilty on our behalf. That's how much he loves. That's how much he extends grace. That's how good of a father he is. That's how much he loves. That's why we come to him. That's why we can come and allow our hearts to be laid bare. That's why we can come in front of the mirror and not feel shame and not feel regret, but just feel his love. There's an amazing way that he can bring challenge. He can bring conviction in the context of loving us. One of the biggest differences that you will feel to know if you are rightly looking at the mirror is this. It's the difference between condemnation and conviction. In condemnation, you feel like you're being pushed away from God. You feel kind of like this. I can't really look at you. I really shouldn't be here. I need to go. You're right in your judgment against me. And that's guilt. That is condemnation. It leads to isolation. Conviction is God drawing us near. It is bringing a reproof. It is in the context of us recognizing our sin, recognizing our greed, our selfishness, our lust, whatever it is. It's not without those things. It's not just like, oh, well, forget about those. It's recognizing those things, but it's recognizing them in the arms of a father who is embracing you, who is dusting you off, who is saying, hey, I am here. We are going to make it through this. I am here. I am not leaving you. I reject the sin, but I do not reject the sinner ever. I welcome you. And so we need to know that our place, our standing before God, is that we faultlessly stand before the throne. It's ridiculous, I know, but it's true. That's how we come to God. That's why we run to the mirror, because it's a mirror of his grace. It's a mirror of his grace. One final thought in how to walk this out comes from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't have children of his own, but in 1 Corinthians 4, he mentions that he makes us aware of something that he recognized in his day in the church. He said, you have many teachers. Some of the translations call it guides. You have many teachers or guides, but you have very few fathers. And God has called me to be a father through the gospel. He's called me to be a father through the gospel. A few chapters later in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, this is what he tells those same people. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. There's so much that is represented in the heart of a parent in that phrase. In the heart of a father, in the heart of a mother. And that simple phrase is why parenting costs you your life in a lot of ways. Because parenting isn't just, okay, do this, or let me guide you this direction, or let me teach you this thing and you go live it. No, parenting is walking alongside someone for the course of their lives. It is modeling. It is laying down your life. It is relinquishing your rights so that someone else can make it. It is time and time again going to the mirror and saying, God, I want to rid myself of this junk, of this sin in my life. It is humbly coming before God. It is humbly coming before your kids and repenting. And it is humbly leading them. And it costs you your life. It is not an easy task. It is one of the most rewarding, but it's not easy. It is not an easy task, but it is one worth living. And I found the same thing to be true, as Paul says, with discipleship. Discipleship, at the heart of it, is mothering and fathering people in the Lord. Mothering and fathering them to Jesus. And I found that it is one of the most rewarding things to see men and women come alive in God, to come out from under insecurities and walk confidently with Him. It has also been one of the most challenging things, because you're laying your heart out there. And it's vulnerable to being hurt. And it's hard to say, okay, I want to live my life before you. I'm not just going to stand up here and teach you something. I want to live with you. I want to walk with you in a very honest and real way. I want you to come into my home. I want you to see our family. We're going to walk this thing together. So don't be afraid to look into the mirror. Don't be afraid to look into the mirror today. We're going to have some time to respond. And during that time of response, that's exactly what I want you to do. For the parents in the room specifically, I want you to picture your kids. These little image bearers of God that He has entrusted you with, because they were His long before they were ours. And so now it is an honor and privilege to raise them up and teach them in the ways of our Father. So I want you to look at them. I want you to look into the picture of their little eyes. And there are things that God is going to speak to you as you look into the mirror of how He wants to refine you and make you look more like Him. And I believe that there is a mirror that God is placing before each one of us today. I don't know what that mirror is. I don't know what the situation is that you find yourself in today. I don't know your past or your history or the pains and the wounds, but go to the mirror today. Let God's word, the truth of His word, the reality of His word, speak to your life. Don't let the distortions of overlooking sin or letting the world dictate what is okay and not okay blind your eyes to what is really true. Don't let insecurity, woundings from the past, distort you from seeing the truth of who you are in God. Father, we're asking that You would speak to us. That today we would soberly, humbly, and yet at the same time joyfully see clearly. See things for what they really are. That our heart would be laid bare before You. God, I know as a parent that it starts with me. It starts with mom and dad. And God, as we each have been called to influence the world around us. We recognize that it starts with us. Let us look into the mirror, that reflects the face. Because so accurately describes the condition of our heart. And it starts with us, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand together. We're going to take some time to respond to what God is speaking. And as you come, there absolutely is a posture of humility. The very nature of being laid bare, of being vulnerable, is a posture of humility. And as we come humbly before God, He wants to speak strength. And I believe the word is victory. God is an overcoming God. He's called us to overcome. And in our weakness, we find His victory. In the very weakest moment of Christ's life, as He agonized on the cross, we find the greatest place of victory. It's just one of those things that doesn't make sense to us in a worldly standard, but it's the way of the kingdom. And so we come to Him in weakness, and He gives us victory to stand up, to walk out of this building today, and to be different, to be more godly parents to our sons and to our daughters, to be more godly men and women to our roommates and co-workers and spouses. So God, by Your grace, we come to Your mirror now. In Jesus' name.